impressive than Mandingo. More shocking than Behind the Green Door. More erotic than Deep Throat.
It's Dial-A-Dork. Computers, geek girls, sometimes serious technology, and more. Like Fark and Slashdot, but on the air. Brought to you by the Comm Group. That's K-O-M-M Group, you knuckleheads. Affordable office and home computer consulting. Ain't that wonderful? Call 216-578-1300 with your computer or geek-related question. Now here's your Cleveland Dorks.
I just wanted to say that I'm a nerd.
Y'all ready for this?
Welcome to Dial-A-Dork, everyone. We are podcasting and ice casting and everything but broadcasting from my basement. My name is Irv. We are here on WKAT. Nothing at all. I'm here with this is another episode of Dial-A-Dork, radio by nerds for everyone. I'd say give us a call, but I don't want you to give out my home phone number. So just give us an email at dorks@dialadork.com. That's hyphenated dial-a-dork.com. If you're listening right now on the IceCast, feel free to email us and we'll answer your question on the air. If you're listening via podcast sometime later in the week, send us an email anyway, and we will answer your question next week. I am joined tonight by regular luminary, Dork Almighty, Matt Minar. Will he be too loud? Let's find out.
In Irv's basement?
All right, that sounds really nice, really nice. And we're here with Ty.
Hi.
Very good. And we are joined, of course, we are joined by the one and only Yoko the Architect. My sweet, sweet wife.
Who loves you so much.
Mistress of the obscene finger gestures.
And we are joined today by two very special guests. We are here with Dr. J.
Yo.
James Schmidt, our in-house physics expert.
It's better than being the outhouse.
Better than being the outhouse physics. Well, speaking of which.
Yeah.
You know what a physic is?
A physic?
Yeah.
What is a physic?
I suggest you look it up.
We did that last week on the show. Define colon whatever in
colon
Google.
Is we'll right. You don't need to look it up.
C colon.
Did
down
I just
colon.
Did I just get lucky?
Party, though,
I think and we're also here joined by Dr. J's lovely wife, the Mistress V. She doesn't have a microphone, so she's just winking and thumbs upping and so on and so forth.
It's better that way.
Maybe it's better that way. I think George Michael said it best in Careless Whisper.
Oh my God.
Maybe it's bad. All right.
Would you please like type something?
All right.
And
basically,
shut up.
What we're going to do today is we're going to basically glom off of Slashdot, and we're going to pose various physics questions to Dr. J, who will
do his best.
Who will do his best? He will. Any pitch that's in the strike zone, he's going to try to knock it out of the park.
I will do my worst.
Thank you.
Outstanding.
We definitely can use that as
I
well.
I think karma is related to physics, though.
Karma?
If it could eventually be measured by some sort of karmometer, then maybe physicists would pay a little bit more attention to it.
Would they then have a website called
Karma? Oh, I'm sorry.
No, you're confusing us with the NPR
well.
Show Karma Talk. That's different.
Oh, man.
Wah, wah, wah.
We have a new regular.
Well done, James.
Thank you.
You can come by anytime. All right, I'm just looking up the definition of physic real quick. You're right. A purging medicine that stimulates evacuation of the bowels. So I was all over that one.
That's why we have a bunch of them around physics department.
Physics.
Yes, we have a lot of them.
Is that Boyle's law that relates volume to pressure? Is that right? Something of the sort?
I believe it is Boyle's law that relates volume to the pressure.
Physics might be important.
At that point it is, yes. I think so.
That's Boyle's law.
It's Boyle's law. Boyle's
boiling
law.
Is a bit too hot.
That's right. Yeah,
okay. So I think we should, my personal physics question, the one that I posed to Dr. J a long time ago, and we might have mentioned it briefly on the show maybe 2 or 3 months ago. I'd like to revisit it now that we have you here. is what I call the Knight Rider question.
Dun, 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 dun.
If anybody remembers the show Knight Rider, which spawned the, or shall we say, hell spawned the career of David Hasselhoff, he had a very special car named Kit. And this was a, you know, sort of an elite little crime-fighting force they had put together. Sort of, so well, I don't know what you want to call it, but he had a whole support organization. They drove around in an 18-wheeler that Kit would drive behind on the highway and go up to, you know, two wheel ramps into the back of the truck for various maintenance purposes.
With that incredibly hot mechanic.
Mm-hmm. She was
with the old guy.
No, the female grease monkey. She was
pretty
amazing.
Outrageous. I'll give you that. Yes,
she was
Bonnie.
Yeah, that's
she
correct.
Was almost as well put together as Kit.
I'd say better.
Oh, okay.
Much more curvy.
Much more curvy. I don't know that old that old
question to describe that.
That old Firebird was pretty sweet.
I don't know, but that's a French curve, wouldn't you say?
I think so.
Oh my!
I'm not entirely sure, but I believe that is.
Okay, before we can even get into the Knight Rider question, Mike and Menner has an email. Dear Dr. J, during the movie Road Trip, was it even possible for them to jump that car over the busted bridge, or should I put my mom's car back in the garage?
Well, if your mom's car is the General Lee, get that sucker out. Let's go.
Well, I honestly, if you're from Menner, I say go for it. But, you know... As a general rule of thumb, it's not a good idea because even if you can clear, you know, say a bridge or something like that, then as the car is coming down, the shocks are going to have to absorb an awful lot of momentum from the car, and it pretty much ends up in the car bottoming out. I believe they went through, speaking of the General Lee, about 20 an episode doing those jumps or something like that. So
20 an episode?
You can quote me on
shocks
that. It
cars?
Might be wrong. A little from column A, a little from column B.
I think,
yeah. You bottom out and you lose your suspension and everything on the bottom side of the car, which I wouldn't know because I pay people to do things to my car. I don't do it myself.
But so basically, regardless of whether or not
the bottom part,
regardless of whether or not the car can clear it, put your mom's car back in the garage right now.
Well, I don't know, man.
Why are we being so responsible?
You're from Menner.
We're
he's
not.
From Menner. I'd say that's probably the least destructive thing he can do on a Friday night. Is it Monday?
I can't even think.
Well, go
of,
for it then.
I can't even think of a spot in the Cleveland area that would be well suited for an attempt.
Well, you can try and jump to Canada. I mean, I'm sure there's a bridge or a cliff you can drive real fast off.
Yeah, 480 at Valley View.
Sure, go right over that bad boy.
No,
don't use that one.
You know what might be good? Might be trying to jump over the ravine behind Picnic Area 4 at Squire Valley View Farm. That might be fun.
I don't see why not. I think it's a good idea.
Maybe build us a little bit of a ramp.
Yeah. All right. Kids, don't try this at home.
Please don't do that. anyway, back to the Knight Rider question.
Sure.
Okay, so. On the show, they perform this feat of Kit driving into the back of the truck while it's moving.
Right.
While it's moving, mind you. They did it in very slow motion, at very low speeds, maybe a few miles an hour at best, and then sped up the footage so it kind of looked like it was. So we're supposed to believe this is happening at, you know, 40, 50, 60, perhaps.
Highway speeds.
Highway speeds. So let's just say for maybe simple math, would 50 miles an hour be.
We won't be using math
we
tonight.
We won't be using... I was told there'd be no math.
I didn't think.
All right, so basically what I'm saying is you've got Kit coming up at about, let's say, 52 miles an hour. You've got the truck going 50 miles an hour because Kit has to be gaining.
You'd have to have a difference in speed, sure.
And you've got two wheel ramps.
Right.
Extending out from the back of the truck. And maybe they have a wheels at the end of them so that they're rolling along with the truck and not like just scratching on the road.
And creating a giant pile of sparks for Kit to drive through. Yes.
Exactly. So Kit's going to hit these ramps. Something's going to happen with those front tires.
That's correct.
Because now the relative speed is 52 miles an hour faster than those ramps once it hits the ramps, isn't that right? Instead of two.
Right. When you're driving along, the road is going by you at just the same speed as your car's tires are turning. They're basically putting themselves down and picking themselves back up. They're not, you know, skidding across it. Well, when you encounter the ramps on the back, the tires would basically skid out, and it should theoretically, you know, have a big burnout and launch Kit through the front of the killing
through
Bonnie.
Through the rig, killing all the mechanics, and crushing the cab, and everything's a big mess.
It's not a front-wheel drive car.
Okay, so now that's the other thing is, if it's a rear-wheel drive car, that's fine, but those tires are still moving, and we never saw any smoke. They would definitely be some sort of spinning out as the road that was flying by was suddenly replaced with a very stationary set of ramps. So one of the things I thought was, they probably have rollers on the ramp. And if it is a rear-wheel drive car, which I believe you're probably right. I think it was it a Trans Am?
It was a Trans Am.
Okay.
Yeah.
A rear-wheel drive car. Basically, what ends up happening is those rollers essentially serve to kind of act as the road, and that they can spin around as fast as possible, and the tires can spin around. And then the rear tires would help to push Kit up. So essentially, he would then, you know, make it up to the top of the ramp. The problem comes
in. Wait, when the rear tires hit the rollers, where's it going to go?
He has to be going fast enough that he, you know, like you said, the 50 and the 52, he has to be going fast enough that his momentum and energy are such that it can kind of carry him up to the top of the ramp. The problem comes in when you get into the flatbed itself, and then the tires catch eventually on something solid and lurch him forward.
You slam onto the brakes and pray to God.
Basically what I'm saying is I really don't think it's feasible.
I'm not even sure that light on the front of the car is operational at this point.
I don't think so.
Well, you know what?
In fact, we should write the Mythbusters.
Oh, my God. That would be a perfect thing for the Mythbusters to try. And they actually... Ooh, but that would be dangerous.
So what? They've done other weird things.
Well, they could do it with remote controls.
They could.
That is absolutely Mythbuster worthy.
I agree.
Absolutely. We need to send that email.
I agree.
Absolutely.
Oh, we have another email.
Okay. Mike from Mentor has written another email. I'm from Menor. What speed should I hit to clear a 10-foot ditch, the one in front of my pig barn? And yes, I'm driving an El Camino.
Okay. Well, it's good that you're driving an El Camino. That way
you'll never reach the speed you need to survive.
Yeah.
Well, what's the optimal angle of departure?
Well, the optimal angle is 45. That gives you the most distance for your velocity. But you don't really want
that's
the optimal.
No
dude, everybody knows the right angle. Everybody knows the right angle is 45 because that was the right angle on the game track and field.
That's right.
During the javelin toss.
Unless you had a big headwind, in which case sometimes you're right. You would have to jump a little more into the wind to get the maximum velocity. Maximum distance, I should say. However, it all depends on the ramp that you have. And Mike, seriously, sell your El Camino and just hitchhike across America.
Mike, put your mom's El Camino back in the garage.
You need to trade that in on a lighter car. It'll be easier to jump over that ravine.
I think a nice Subaru Brat.
And much cheaper to replace after you destroy it.
Wait, lighter car, easier to jump? Explain.
I disagree entirely, but that's okay. Go ahead. I want to hear this.
Disagree entirely, but a lighter
car
would be...
I want to hear what you get at.
Oh, this is interesting. I have no basis with which to back this.
That's what I thought. I would go with a heavier car because you would get less effect from the air because you'd pretty much sort of blow through it like a cannonball would, as opposed to, you know, a strong breeze coming along and blowing your Ford Fiesta way off course.
Or perhaps even a Ford Festiva.
If
you have a tailwind, that's fine. But if you don't, maybe it would be bad if you had a spoiler on your car. Definitely don't do it with a car with a spoiler. In fact, the El Camino might get the same sort of aerodynamic downturn, and you'll end up doing a complete flip in the air or perhaps a half flip, and that's bad.
Wait,
if you look into Greek mythology, you could read up on how you can get these wings made out of wax and attach them to the side of the car. It's not.
You're talking about the Ford Icarus?
Yeah.
Or the Chrysler Daedalus, which is basically every Chrysler.
Yes.
Okay.
Daedalus
look.
In the water.
Let me ask this: What about Matt's argument for a lighter car? Because you would potentially be able to achieve a higher takeoff velocity.
Well, you can just back up and start from further back.
Let's say you can't.
Well, if
jerk.
That's that, okay. All right, jerky. If your limitation is
right.
I have 100 feet to get up to the maximum speed possible, you would actually probably want something like a motorcycle, something very light, but also something with a high power, you know, engine in it. Something light, like say a Mazda Miata or something like that, would be nice.
Mazda does not endorse this use of their vehicle.
That's right.
Let me ask a question.
And this show does not endorse the use of Mazdas.
James, when you're in the air like that, could you be assisted in any way by some sort of gyroscopic device?
You could have one out. I don't know if it would help you very much, but it would be fun to look at.
You mean like the little one you get from
the Smithsonian, you bounce
your finger?
Yeah, sure. I don't think you need stabilization for 10 seconds of flight. In fact, you wouldn't even have 10 seconds of flight. You'd have about 4 seconds of flight, probably.
4 seconds of flight.
Just about 4 seconds or
two
so.
2 seconds of life flashing before your eyes and then death.
A lifetime of car payments. That's okay. Right. Yes.
Okay.
Possibly medical payments as well.
I would agree. I would agree.
Thank you very much. Thank you very much.
Yeah,
so
thanks, Mike and Menner, for that email.
You guys? We were talking about. Do you have something? Or cause
I was
going
to say with a lighter car, the common misapprehension that people have is that things that are lighter are not as subject to the effects of gravity, which is pretty much wrong. But if
most
we want to get into the general relativity side of things, it's very, 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 very slightly correct.
I guess not
but
at those speeds.
It.
I would,
you can't
yeah,
you it with the ball
you,
falling
you couldn't,
off the tower
yeah,
of Pisa
MIT
or
couldn't put their best men on it and get any sort of effect out of it. No, I wouldn't be real worried about that. The only thing I'd be worried about is a sturdier car, a heavier car might kill you less.
A truck.
Yeah. A truck would be a good idea.
This is why people buy SUVs. It's
that's
so
correct.
They can jump over
that's right.
ditches
that's
safely.
Right. But it's that you buy a
more
Hummer
safely.
So you can drive over somebody else's Ford Festiva. That's correct.
Less unsafely.
That's right.
That's you know what? And if you're going to attempt this stunt, please keep your foot constant on the accelerator as you go up the ramp because you don't want to be either accelerating or decelerating
no.
when you hit that edge.
Yeah, at about 45 feet away from the ramp, put a big stake with an orange thing on it, and if you get to that
stake.
Point, do not take your foot off the gas. Continue driving as fast as possible. You'll be at the point of no return, and you don't want to end up braking and then driving directly into the ravine.
Very
how
good.
How would we calculate the point of no return?
With math.
Okay.
But we're
so
not doing math.
We can't talk
not,
about that
I mean,
now.
You could. It just depends on the speed. Right, give me a calculator.
All right, let's move on to lightning.
Fantastic.
We were talking about what?
We have another.
Bob in Strongsville. That's not even alliterative. Bob, did Fonzie successfully jump the shark? If not, what went wrong?
To be honest, I think that show jumped the shark a long time before Fonzie did. But, yeah, he jumped the shark. He definitely jumped the shark. Or his stuntman lookalike definitely jumped the shark.
I heard there's a jump the couch in reference to Tom Cruise now.
Ah, very funny.
When a performer
jump the couch
goes over the edge mentally or psychologically, it's jumping the couch.
So Michael Jackson, I think, jumped the couch when he released the album Bad.
I agree completely.
With a suit full of buckles. That was just, well, it was a self-fulfilling prophecy. It was bad.
Moving on to lightning.
Yeah.
Moving on
to
lightning.
Lightning. A lighter topic.
Before we even get to lightning, I just wanted to mention that on July 27, scientists at the National Nuclear Security Administration's Nevada test site generated a current equal to about 4 times all the electrical current on Earth. During the few millionths of a second that it operated, the 650-ton Atlas pulse power generator discharged 19 million amps of current through an aluminum cylindrical shell about the size of a tuna can.
Jesus.
That sounds like a porn film.
19 million amps.
19 million amps is an ampere is a coulomb per second, and a coulomb of charge is equivalent to around 10 to the 20th electrons. So
sounds like math.
Yeah, this is fuzzy math. That's about for those of you who are into chemistry, I think that's about a mole of electrons discharged in a second. That's big.
Mole
that's
is
bad.
6.02 times 10 to
the 27th.
23rd.
That's about a couple thousand.
He's physics, yeah. Guys, not chemistry.
I haven't cracked a book. I've been off all summer.
It's a lot of electrons.
Yeah, six, seven orders.
I'm surprised that the aluminum cylinder survived.
With the fact that a team did successfully linked a Wi-Fi connection, an unamplified 11 megabit Wi-Fi connection over 125 miles at a competition recently, would that have anything to do with electrons?
Sure.
Great. Yes. Okay, now moving on to lightning.
Did you have a follow-up question? Yes, it would definitely have something to do with electrons.
Wait a minute.
The shaking electrons are what cause those electromagnetic waves.
We got another email
got
here.
Another email.
Larry from Lorraine says, why do they put Braille on drive-up ATMs? Well, maybe they're not all built for drive-up. You know, not every ATM is drive-up. Some are walk-up.
But they do have them on drive-up. The hard part is watching the guy try and drive with his hand on the road, feeling for the turns and stuff like that. That's the worst.
They have to wear a glove at least.
At the very least.
Made of mithril.
Yes.
All right.
those who don't know, mithril is a light chainmail made by elves.
Actually, it's the metal.
It's the metal. And then they make chainmail out of mithril.
I like
or mithril.
The
what's a what?
This is a plus five.
Is there something wrong with your microphone?
This is a plus five Mithril microphone with a protection against
Mithril?
Stupidity.
No, yeah. Mine is clearly Mithril due to the shine. Yours is
you got nothing.
Yours is scuzz bucket. I don't know. All right, let's talk about lightning.
Okay.
Wait a minute, hold on a second. There's another, significant event.
Talk into the mic.
There's another significant event happening this month, which some people here might have read about. The fact that Mars will be coming closer to the planet Earth than at any point in time.
That's true.
In the last recorded history, as far
that's
as
true.
I read, like 5,000 to 60,000 years. I don't even know.
It's just
going
where
to make
orbits.
People crazy?
No, that's something different that's going to make people crazy.
But the follow-up questions on that are, I read that it will occupy 25.1 arc seconds of our night sky at its...
That should be pretty darn visible if you just walk out back and you don't live in the middle of New York City.
How many arc seconds is the moon when it's full, for instance?
Lots.
Yeah, the moon's pretty big. But it would be a lot bigger than a star. You would notice that it would be equivalent to someone... having thrown a tennis ball up as high as possible, maybe. You know, a baseball flying through the air while you're at the stadium. It would be about that size. Very, very visible. But on the astronomy note, I'm not sure if you know this, they just announced, I believe it was on the 29th,
10th
planet. Mm-hmm. They found a 10th planet larger than Pluto at a greater distance than Pluto. They determined how big it was. They've actually discovered it a couple of years ago, but they determined how big it was, and officially it's definitely a planet.
Are the creatures who live on the planet here to save us?
No, they're here to kill us.
Oh,
but
well,
the good news
right.
is it's going to take them 2,500,000 years to get here because they have a Ford Fiesta.
Go ahead. I have a question about the new planet. So
it's twin turbo, though.
All yes. of the existing planets, with the exception of Pluto, are pretty much on the same plane.
All of the ones that are in our solar system you're talking about?
Right,
yeah,
right.
Basically in the same plane, essentially.
Pluto's a little off.
Yeah.
This one is apparently like a 45-degree angle.
Actually, I did not read that, but okay, I believe you.
So is that part of the controversy over whether it's a 10th planet or
actually,
not?
No. I think it had more to do with... measuring the size of it and determining whether or not it was something that was officially going around the sun or whether or not it was just something big in outer space. And that's about it.
What's the boundary between our galaxy and, like, space called?
I don't know.
Is that the Oort cloud?
I was going to say,
the
Oort cloud's
like on, like, a huge thing. It's like the edge of the universe,
yeah,
isn't it?
Well, I don't know
or
about
the
edge of the universe. The edge of the galaxy, I believe. Something like that. Or maybe not.
The Oort.
Perhaps you're referring
cloud.
To the asteroid belt.
I think you're just talking about the Oort cloud because you recently watched Back to School.
Oort.
Where they talk about the Oort cloud
Oort's
when he's studying. When he's trying to hit on William Zabka's chick.
Well, you know what? Here's a good physics question.
The guy from the movie Christine.
is it possible to generate enough force by leaping off of a springboard to perform a triple Lundy?
Only if you're Rodney Dangerfield, and he's dead.
You better execute.
Yeah. Yeah, you really have to come through.
I think it's absolutely possible, but it's possible, but it's totally impossible.
Here's my problem.
Physically,
with the
there's
Lindy.
No law against
when
it.
When he goes to the side as he does, yeah. he lands on the board, and apparently all of that sideways momentum has been
goes
lost
away.
Somehow,
yeah.
and that's not correct. What happens is you jump off, you go sideways, your feet hit the board, you slide off, you snap your neck hitting the deck below.
That's gruesome.
Physics is fun.
Physics is sweet and
so,
delicious.
On the subject of Mars being close, if it's not close enough for you or your viewing conditions aren't good enough, there's always the Mars Cheese Castle in Racine, Wisconsin.
Which actually is one of my favorite stops. I enjoy...
Is it Racine or Kenosha?
It's actually south of Kenosha. It's my wife knows the exit number, I think. Mars Cheese Castle is a delicious, delicious place to stop. Get yourself, some cheese curds, perhaps some brats, maybe even a cheesehead hat if you're into that thing.
And you can always check out moon.google.com.
That's true.
We have an email. Ellie in Elyria. Dear Dr. J, when electrons flow through wires, does the first one to pop at the receiving end start at the power source and travel the length of the wire, or is it sitting at the end of the wire waiting for a push?
Well, if you're talking... Let's let the other Dr. J jump in. Go ahead. Okay. No, he's got nothing. If you're talking about alternating current, the electrons don't actually go anywhere in alternating current. They just shake back and forth and transfer their energy that way. But if you're talking about direct current, then you can think of it sort of as a hose filled with ping pong balls. and you push one ping pong ball in at one end, and that is the that's the battery sort of driving it, and out pops the ping pong ball very nearest to the other end, and that's generally the one that comes out. But in reality, it's just a whole mess of collisions that electrons go through. It very well might not be the one at the very end. It might be the one third in. It might be one gets a nice free path, and it does go zooming from the middle of it.
Well, wait a minute.
It's just driven by the electric field.
Wait.
Fantastic. It has a cape and everything.
If an electron passes go, does it collect $200?
No, electrons don't need money.
Do they... All right.
Can you ever really know the position of an electron?
Sure, you can know the position of an electron, but you'll have no idea how fast it's going at the time.
If you know the position of an electron, did you just change the position of an electron?
That's correct.
Okay.
You can do that.
If you try to understand what's
the Hindenburg uncertainty principle.
Hindenburg?
Heisenberg.
Of course it's Heisenberg.
I-94? Were you mentioning I-94 in Wisconsin?
I don't see why I wouldn't have mentioned I-94.
Were you mentioning
I-94?
Is there a city named Hartwig? On
I-94? I don't know, but I know you passed the Bong Recreation Area on your way to Milwaukee.
You do.
The Bong Recreation. Well, let me tell you something, guys. One of this week's Why Wows, Yoko's website of the week, is www.lilex.com. LILEKS. A website put together by James Lilex. And one of the sections you really want to check out is called the Institute of Official Cheer, where he has preserve for posterity a number of 50s, 60s, and 70s era cookbooks and advertisements and all kinds of very, very disturbing things that are really awesome. And one of the things he's got here, so if you go to www.lilex.com/institute/motel, you'll find a tribute to the Gobbler Motel and Supper Club, which was built in Hartwig, Wisconsin, right off I-94. And it was a hotel designed to look like a turkey and be the most superly awesome, modern, incredible hotel ever made. And it is, and I guess Lilex says it right here when he starts the intro. He says, "What were they thinking? Imagine the pitch to the investors. It's going to be a futuristic, state-of-the-art motel with every modern convenience from waterbeds to 8-tracks. The entire dining area will be covered in deep pile pink and purple carpet. But wait, here's the best part. It will look like an abstract sculpture of a giant turkey. We'll bill it as a romantic getaway and call it The Gobbler." Ladies and gentlemen, you've got to see this website. You've got to check out The Gobbler. It is redonkulous.
I have a theory about that. I think he said something about, you know, how turkey makes you sleepy at Thanksgiving. They would see the turkey-shaped thing on the side of the road, pull over, and have to go to bed there.
This is possible.
I don't think so.
Check out the hallway.
Folks, I'm looking at the hallway right now. I can guarantee you it is a hallway.
The Passion Pit. They named the rooms at the Gobbler, and one was called the Passion Pit, and it had a round bed, and everything was covered in blue shag carpet.
Why does this sound like the
just
perfect
like the
location
pit
to
of a
shoot
real
a,
turkey.
A porno flick at?
What?
Sounds like the perfect location for a porno flick. The Gobbler.
The Gobbler.
Tracy Lords starring, something like that.
The Gobbler. Tracy Lords.
Tracy Lords is not.
She only did one movie over the age of 18. That was called Tracy, I Love You. Every other movie, you're not allowed to own it.
Right.
It's technically kiddie porn.
Deep Throat.
Kelly from Kenosha. Well, thank you for listening in from beautiful Kenosha, which is a city in some state somewhere.
Wisconsin.
I also recommend the Brat Stop.
It's not the Brat Stop.
The Brat Stop next to the adult bookstore for all your sausage needs. That's a 1-2 punch, ladies and gents. Porn store and brat shop.
That's correct.
Boy, how quickly it devolved.
What kind of sausage needs could somebody have?
Well,
you
find
all of them.
Find out at the porn store.
Oh, wait. When I want to eat some sausage, then I have a sausage need. There isn't another kind.
All right.
Can you actually blow up a condom over your head?
Yes.
What do you mean
like
blow up?
Do
you mean like Howie Mandel used to do the rubber glove over?
I think it would help if you had a magnum.
The rubber glove's a little bit different, right?
It would help if you had a magnum. They are somewhat elastic. I have a feeling you'd be much more likely to explode the condom over your head than the rubber glove because that was meant to stretch. It's got a lot more give, a lot more elasticity, a little bit more...
It's just got that certain something.
Yes. It's surprisingly enough, it's the condom that fits like
a glove.
Were
we talking about lightning?
They should change that.
Let's talk about lightning. Can we talk about lightning? Can we talk? Let's talk about
maybe lightning's like e-commerce. We just never get around to talking.
E-commerce safety. E-commerce safety, which, you know, there is none. All right.
I mean, quite frankly, we can talk about beer atoms instead.
I got a phishing thing from PayPal the other day, but not really from PayPal, of course. And so I looked at the link and I pasted it into my browser, and then I started typing things in the username and password field, like, "You guys are a bunch of jerks," for my username and password. "You should consider an honest line of business," and then and so on and so forth. I hope somebody read that. It made me feel good.
That's great. You know, in fact, you've heard of those 419 scams?
Yeah, like the ones from Nigeria.
The Nigerian ones and all that kind of stuff. If you do a little Googling out there, you can find some people who have gone to great lengths to scam the scammers and basically convince these 419 scammers that somebody is buying into it and make them go through, make them jump through insane hoops to try to complete this scam. It's really, really funny. Like, they'll say, like, "I'm very nervous. I'm in Nigeria now. What I need you to do is send me a picture of yourself so I know who you are and all this stuff, so I'll recognize you. I'll be wearing a yellow suit with a canary hat." Or, I mean, like, it's all this crazy stuff, and then they make, like, the guys, like, paint red circles around their eyes and like, hold their hand over their head. You know, just, like, really strange stuff. And they actually get these pictures of these Nigerian guys doing this, trying to complete the scam. It's pretty funny. I there's a whole set, like, 419 something or other. I don't know.
Google
see if I can
it.
Find it. Anyway, James, would you tell us about lightning? What is lightning? Why does it happen? How does it happen? And how can you protect yourself from lightning?
I think I can go 3 for 4 on that line of questioning there. Lightning is essentially just a discharge. It's a not that kind of a discharge. It's a discharge of electrical
energy. Is it like what happens
energy.
After a physic?
No. It's
if you build up enough friction, I mean, maybe.
The sky has
gross.
A physic.
Everybody who lives in the north of the United States, and possibly even some people in the south, have experienced the mild shock when you walk across the floor, carpeted floor, and touch the doorknob, and you get a little shock.
Why would the people in the south not get that?
Oh, because they're not very smart. It never gets cold or dry enough to be able to build up a good static charge. The air being dry helps a lot. In fact, when I was talking with some physics teachers, one of them in Miami said it's almost impossible for him to run his Van de Graaff generator, which I'm sure you guys remember from high school.
Sure.
Put your hands on it, hair stands up. Yep. It's impossible for him to run it because it basically just bleeds off the electricity right into the air, and you can't build up enough of a charge on it to get anything cool to happen because of the humidity. Anyway, if you shuffle your feet across the floor, friction has you build up a static charge. You gain some electrons from the floor, and when you get close enough to the doorknob, the electric field between your finger and the doorknob is such that it can cause the air essentially to sort of ionize, and the electrons kind of jump from one to the other and balance out the total charge. But I believe we have an email coming in, Irv. We want to take care of that?
Barbie in Bedford wants to know, is it true that lightning actually strikes twice more often than not? Why? And then she says, this fortune cookie is freaking me out. I can only assume the fortune cookie says lightning does not strike twice, or I don't know. I don't know what that's all about.
Not sure either.
I'm a little slow.
Maybe we should respond to Barbie.
Please do.
It does strike twice. In fact, it strikes very often. It just usually doesn't strike the same place twice because after the first strike, whatever was there is completely destroyed from the lightning strike. However, there have been cases where people have been hit multiple times by lightning just because of their particular tendency to stand in the middle of a golf course in the rainstorm swinging a forward.
Oh, do you mean like our mutual friend Mike Wiggins, who held a 9-iron off the Fiji front porch during a thunderstorm and lightning hit about, well, I don't know, 8 feet from the porch?
More or less. I can't say.
That was pretty scary.
Not quite 8 feet. That's an exaggeration because you would be severely burned from the amount of heat that's generated.
25 feet?
It would have to be more like 100 feet for him not to be completely destroyed, although I'm sure he did play some role, some small part
maybe
in that.
Maybe it was in the middle of the street.
Well, it's funny you should mention that because that's a big part of the lightning striking, the spark occurring, is the proximity, how close it is between the two charges or between the two things that are charged. Most people don't know that lightning comes out of the ground as well as down from the clouds. There's what they call the ground stroke. Okay, I was just checking. I didn't know if there was going to be any comments, but the ground stroke.
Oh, what, something about tennis?
I was thinking more of the stroke. Anyway, it comes up out of the ground and comes down from the cloud. They meet halfway, and that's when you get your transfer of energy.
That's when the magic happens.
And there it is. Yeah.
Say, Dr. J.
Yes.
This is all very interesting.
Is it?
No. What is ball lightning?
Stroke doesn't get a laugh, but ball lightning has died in hysterics.
Ball
lightning is something that they can't do a lot of research about because it doesn't occur very often. In fact, a lot of people
think it occurs in my pants.
No, that's the stroke that occurs in your pants. Ball lightning is basically just that. It looks like a ball of lightning, and people have reported it.
A ball of lightning?
Ball of light, sort of like
a... What the hell does a ball of lightning look like?
Imagine lightning all curled up into a ball.
Round.
Round.
Hey, you know, it could look like a football of lightning.
Could be oblong.
Nothing.
An oblong?
An oblong.
Okay, what the hell is ball lightning, seriously?
I really don't know, to be honest with you. There's not a lot of research that's been done, and I don't want to sit here and speculate. You know, this isn't the X-Files. This is a program.
It's a spell in Dungeons & Dragons.
That's right. It is a Dungeons & Dragons spell that
doesn't really exist.
Do you know the damage that ball lightning does?
I'm gonna say like 5d6 or something like that.
I've ruined four pairs of underwear with ball lightning.
I think it's 2d6 per caster level. Although someone out there, I'm sure, will write us an angry level, angry email about
angry
that being incorrect.
Layla from Las Vegas. This must be one of your old friends from Las Vegas.
I don't have any friends in Las Vegas.
Layla from Las Vegas. If water is such a great conductor, why are lightning storms so much better in the desert?
Because water isn't a good conductor.
No, it's usually the peyote. Actually, it's because of the dryness in the air, like I was talking about before. If people had been paying attention, they might not have written that email. But I'm just kidding. The dryness of the air in the desert is what allows a much larger electric field to build up before the spark actually occurs.
When there's lightning, why do I have to get out of the pool?
Because water is such a good conductor. If you were paying attention to Layla's email, you probably
would
have asked that question.
I was trying to make ball lightning.
It's also because it's a bunch of it's a bunch of very loose. Oh, I can smell that now. That is nasty.
Well,
no,
smell what?
The ball lightning.
Oh,
isn't that? Oh,
I singed a couple of hairs.
Ball of thunder. You're smelling.
The ball of thunder.
No, that's what you're hearing.
That's right.
Oh wait, there's a good,
I singed a few
a
hairs.
Lightning thing.
It smells terrible.
Is it true that if you count the number of seconds between the thunderclap and the lightning flash of light, that
it's
you
pretty
can
close.
Tell how many
Actually,
miles
it's
away
pretty
it
close.
Is?
5 seconds per mile is very accurate. It has to do with the speed of sound being about 350 or so meters per second and the speed of light being about 3 times 10 to the 8th meters per second. And you assume that... Yeah,
5 seconds per mile?
5 seconds per mile, because essentially...
I thought it was 1 second per mile.
No, it's 5 seconds every mile. I'll do the math.
770
miles
an hour?
670 miles per hour is Mach 1, which is the speed of sound.
670 miles an hour?
Okay.
Yeah, so if we did all the division
and
stuff like that.
And light's about 186,000 miles per second.
Yeah, but the light getting to you is, for all intents and purposes, instantaneous.
That's correct. And that triggers the go, and you start counting from there, and then shortly thereafter,
you'll hear the
thunder. And if you do the math, which I'll be happy to do in a little bit, we can do that. And,
okay.
We can check it out. I believe we have another email.
Paul and Parma, what the hell was the movie Powder supposed to be about? Was there anything remotely accurate in that movie? And he wants to know also if he has any superpowers. Well, you do have the power of stupid questions. So congratulations
on that. I'd like
to
tell you, Powder was about 2 hours of crap. And Jeff Goldblum starring.
Oh,
I saw it twice. It was so bad.
Oh, my God.
Jeff Goldblum starring in yet another sci-fi stinkerama.
I mean, basically, it's all about this kid who's just covered in gold bond? And
no, he's a kid who is sort of an outcast. And
preventing ball lightning.
he supposedly has some sort of penchant for electromagnetic something or other. I believe at one point, Jeff Goldblum, the science teacher, who also, you know, managed to write the virus that brought down the ships in Independence
Day.
That
was ridiculous.
Don't even get me started on that either. But he's running a Jacob's ladder, which is a very high voltage, very high current, alternating current demonstration. If you've ever been to a museum of science and industry, you've seen it where the spark sort of travels up between two wires that are in a V shape. And at one point it arced out at him and lifted him off the ground. And that's it. And that doesn't happen. That's wrong. It's just plain wrong.
Jane, are you sure the speed of sound is 670 miles an hour?
I'm not sure. I can almost guarantee you that it's 350 meters per second, though. 345 meters per second to
345 meters per second?
Yeah.
Okay.
So is 670 wrong?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. Actually, you know what? Sure it it's divide that by 0.447. It might be 770.
Irvin, all right, here we go. 345 meters per second equals 0.21 miles per second. So 5 seconds is a mile. You're absolutely right.
How many liters per flush is that?
Depends if you're in the north or south hemisphere.
That's right.
I see.
Now, if you're in the United States or Canada, because I believe United States only allows 1 gallon per flush, and Canada still has 3 gallon tanks. Or is it like 3 gallon tanks to 5 gallon?
I can guarantee you it's liters.
Yeah.
Well, fine.
Because Canadians are crazy that way.
12 and that's liter tanks.
L-I-T-R-E-S.
Litres.
Litres. Latrine!
You know, if lightning is so dangerous, how come people have survived being hit by it?
Yeah.
This is a good question. As soon as he's done with his...
I had to refresh
with
my...
Mouth
juices. You know, it depends
on... There's
that
ball lightning again.
Here's your ball lightning again. The...
ball lightning strikes twice.
It has to do with that you're... Oh, my God. This is the last time I'm... All right. The body...
Fromunda lightning.
Thank you. Thank you.
So Fromunda my ball lightning.
As the broadcast digresses. It has to do with your body being wired to be a whole bunch of electrical conductors. That's how you do anything, is your body is just a whole network of wiring, of, you know, bio-wiring.
They're called nerves.
Cats plus one. All right. Good job. You get a check mark. It just so happens that when sometimes people get hit, it basically passes over those neurons and is able to travel, you know, very quickly through them. But generally, it's not the electrocution. It's the fact that so much electricity travels through you, it generates so much heat that you burn from the inside out, which is a tasty way to go.
It's kind of like Ebola, but quicker. Simon in Solon. Why do electrons travel at the speed of light?
They
electrons
don't.
Aren't photons, so WTF.
Dear Simon, go back to school. Electrons don't travel at the speed of light. The end.
How fast do they travel?
As fast as you want them to travel. Actually, electrons are...
I want them to travel at the speed of light.
You can't do that.
That would take an infinite amount of energy.
That is correct. You can't get them to travel that fast. When they vibrate, they send out electromagnetic waves, and that's photons. The energy which they emit travels at the speed of light because it is light.
But the electrons themselves...
Right.
Oh, my God.
Oh, that is...
What is that?
That's
and who did it?
Dubious.
Oh, my God. Is it
dog?
Is it Poppy?
The dog has ball lightning.
the dog...
Dude, that's thunder. That ain't lightning.
My dog is here with us, and needless to say, all of the people food that we gave the dog earlier tonight has come home to roost,
Speaking of flatulence, there's a good physics question for
you. Okay, physics question. Flatulence. Speed
What's
of light.
SBD, and how does it happen?
SBD, silent but deadly. Yes. Flatulence just has to do with your body not having the right enzymes working on the food that you digested. That's why, you know, certain foods tend to give you specific gas over and over because you don't have those enzymes working on that food in your body to break it down. And it just generates a nasty gas as a byproduct, which we all know and love as farts.
Methane.
Generally methane, although I swear sometimes I think it's like this sulfur-based thing when you eat, you know, it's the rotten egg smell. I've had that come out of me before.
Isn't there sulfur in methane?
No. Methane, CH4.
CH4?
Yeah.
Sulfur is just
sulfur.
CH4.
Yeah. But actually, I think it would be sulfur dioxide or sulfur trioxide. I'm not sure. I'd have to call in a chemist, and that's way expensive.
Chemists cost a lot?
Yes. I've tried to buy one before.
Plus, they tend to
price.
Have really strong reactions
that's
to things.
Oh, that's terrible.
Wow. That's fantastic. That's fantastic.
Wow.
Thai fever. Catch
wow.
it.
Wow.
Gus in Geauga Lake, speaking of gas, has anyone ever died from gas? And were Pop Rocks and Pepsi involved? Yes, that apparently killed Alfonso Ribeiro back in the day.
Except it didn't.
Poppy,
didn't
what are you doing?
That one?
Yeah, that's fine. Just burp a lot. You'll be fine. Burp and fart a lot.
Okay.
Your body is
I'm
not
sure,
going to explode.
I am sure could people have died of
yes.
I'm sure people have died of gas, but it was probably not your typical gas that would be produced by eating typical food. It might have been some sort of noxious gas from something you ingested that killed you.
I would probably say maybe.
What if you were a cow with like four stomachs and stuff? And
well, that's why cows are responsible for so much. They're responsible for so much methane production is because of all of the eating.
Which stomach is typically the most gas?
Number three. You would think it's number four, but it's number three.
I had no idea.
I don't know either.
Unbelievable.
No, that's a biology.
This enough with this Wisconsin crap. The point is that
literally.
They say like cows and like what, like plankton or something generate 90% of
algae.
The greenhouse gases in the world or something
it's
like that.
Algae.
And your dog generates
algae.
Another 10%.
Yes.
My dog is currently producing at an extremely high rate. We should really be channeling it kind of like solar panels. Why can't you have fart panels in your house?
Isn't that what they use in Mad Max? They use a
fart
panel.
They use methane. I'm pretty sure that was Waterworld.
And why do we keep saying methane instead of methane?
In Mad Max number 3, because that's how the British pronounce it, and it sounds fancy.
Aluminium.
No, in Mad Max Beyond Thunderdome, he had to go work in the
middle. It was the first one. Not Beyond.
No, Beyond Thunderdome.
You're right. The one.
Wait, certainly right.
One at a time, you jerks.
That's right.
Beyond Thunderbone.
We'll talk over each other.
That was the other movie.
That was Mad Jack Beyond Thunderbone, and I believe it's... we'll find out who it stars
shortly.
Does anybody know any physics jokes?
Yeah, where do physicists take their cars when they break down? To quantum mechanics.
Mm.
You know,
that's
I'll tell you what,
good.
If my car had a quantum drive in it, I'd be happy as a clam.
That's right. I got one more. One electron says to a proton... he says, "Are you sure about that?" And the proton says, "I'm positive." That's not really a joke.
I've heard it. I've heard it this way. Two hydrogen atoms walk into a bar, except one of them.
I think I lost my electron.
Right, I think I lost.
You sure? Yeah, I'm positive. That's much funnier. I should tell it that way from now on.
In the same vein, a neutron goes into a bar, orders a beer, asks the bartender, "How much does it cost?" The bartender says, "For you, no charge."
That's good.
Thanks very much.
That's fantastic.
This was posted at a physics department. Theory is when you know how it works, but it still doesn't. Practice is when it works, but you don't know why. And in this physics department, theory and practice are joined together. Nothing works, and no one knows why.
Theory and practice are the same in theory, but different in practice.
That's right.
What's the definition of a tachyon?
Someone who puts green shag carpet on their
it's
walls.
It's a gluon that's not completely dry.
Boo.
I've heard a long, not really a joke, more of an anecdote about a barometer on a test where a student was asked to determine the height of a building using
right.
a barometer. And there's like 9 different ways not involving differences in pressure. Like drop the barometer and time it and then put it in the distance equation. Or... take the barometer to the administrator of the building and ask them to tell you how tall the building is, and if they tell you, you give them a barometer.
Yeah.
Apparently, the student did not pass.
The story that I've heard is that the student did pass, and it was Niels Bohr who was that student.
Really?
Yes, that's the version I've heard. But that's we physicists tend to lie to each other a great deal.
Really?
No. See, I got you.
It may not be physics.
We lie to the other people a lot.
It may not be physics, but if you search for "hell is exothermic," on Google, that is a fantastic
Absolutely.
Story.
That's right.
What?
Is hell exothermic or endothermic? Another excellent.
But I think it's a little long, isn't it?
It's more than a little long.
I like. I know. I have a math joke that one was it 2 + 2 = 5 for a sufficiently large 2. I didn't really get it.
Sufficiently large
values
of 2.
I kind of like it. She was buoyant and excited at the thought of new adventures. What? Why did the chicken cross the road? To actualize its potential. I don't understand that.
I don't get it either, so I'd stop looking at whatever crappy website it is you're getting them from.
You know, if electrons travel as fast as you want them to...
They travel almost.
How fast do they travel through a superconducting material?
You know, that's an interesting question. Generally, the speed of the electron is determined by the voltage, really by the electric field that is being applied through it, and I know surprisingly little about what goes on inside a superconductor. Most people don't, so there you go. So I don't feel bad about myself.
What is the difference between a quantum theorist and a beauty therapist?
I don't know.
The quantum theorist uses Planck's constant as a foundation, whereas the beauty therapist uses Max Factor. What's the difference between Max Factor and quantum theorist?
I don't know.
Max Factor has models that work.
All right, very good.
Hey,
Ernie and Erie, why don't the passengers of the Enterprise, the Millennium Falcon, and Barf's, Lone Star and Barf's Winnebago explode upon reaching light speed or at least get whiplash?
Seatbelts. It's all about seatbelts.
The Schwartz, baby.
And the Schwartz. No, you wouldn't necessarily explode. I think you're thinking of the increase in mass as you approach the speed of light. But, you know, there's a lot of quantum things out there that we really don't understand. So it's, you know, entirely possible that we'll find out that the best way to get between point A and point B is not to travel there very quickly, but rather to make the space between point A and B catastrophically collapse, step over to point A, and then have it catastrophically expand.
Hence Frank Herbert's Dune in folding space.
More or less,
reading here that researchers in Fairbanks, Alaska, announced last week they have discovered a superconductor which will operate at room temperature. Because it's really cold up there.
I was going to say.
Just kidding.
Does light have mass?
Well, it depends, right?
You're right. No. It's not even Catholic.
No.
You're absolutely
right. Absolutely not. No, it's actually Light's Jewish, believe it or not.
It is?
No.
Judith Light?
No.
From
Who's the Boss? Light from Who's the Boss. That's the light I spoke of, yes.
I wish I had invented the telegraph, he replied remorsefully.
It gets worse.
A high school
and
physics
worse.
Teacher had a summer job as a beach lifeguard. He noted that the best tanned babes flirted the most throughout the summer, though they never found steady boyfriends. He theorized that a body in lotion trends to stray emotion.
Wow.
Talk about Brownie in motion.
Yeah. Oh, that's
scene.
Wow.
Scene.
Oh,
come on, at least I came
Brownie
up with
in motion. Brownie in motion.
I like that. Yeah.
Something to do with Girl Scouts.
I'll write that joke when I go home. Yes.
Scene on the door to a light wave lab. Do not look into laser with remaining good eye. Heisenberg is out for a drive when he's stopped by a traffic cop. The cop says, "Do you know how fast you were going?" He says, "No, but I know where I am." That's pretty good. Here's one about Heisenberg. You've perhaps seen or heard of old inns that have plaques on the wall of a room saying, for example, George Washington slept here. Apparently there's an inn in Germany that with own plaque that says Heisenberg may have slept here. There you go.
Fantastic. Or you could find your own jokes.
Two cats are on a roof. Which slides off first? The one with the smaller mew.
Oh, that's a joke about the coefficient of static friction, mew.
Speaking of the coefficient of static friction, can you what is the coefficient of static friction for a cornhole board?
Well, you know, it's funny you should mention that in the same.
Now, I know what you're thinking, Matt. Matt's making this face like cornhole, but it's actually a game where it's kind of like
that's even worse.
It's a game that you and I can play.
Cornhole.
No, it's a game where you have these like sort of bean bags filled with corn kernels, and you stand, you kind of like you got to toss them onto a board with a hole in it, and you got to get it on the board or into the hole.
No, dude, that's tic tac toss.
No, it's not.
Well, it's kind of like tic tac toss.
One hole.
The cornhole.
It's basically horseshoes for drunk people. I think if you have a horseshoe and you throw it and you hit somebody in the head with it, that's bad. But a bag full of corn, you hit somebody in the head with it, that's funny. The coefficient of friction between the two is surprisingly high, but at large rates of speed, but it really just doesn't matter.
If it wasn't for Thomas Alva Edison, we'd all be watching TV to the light of a candle. That's horrible.
It's not really
Why
even a joke.
Why didn't somebody stop me?
We're trying.
I think Ty has one.
What is Ohm's law, and who vaulted it into existence? Has it met with any resistance in its application?
That's awful.
Why did the chicken cross the road?
He was stapled to the punk rocker.
Well, the Isaac Newton has four answers. His first answer is chickens at rest tend to stay at rest. Chickens in motion tend to cross the road.
This is why men turn to God, because the physics jokes are so
Newton's second
bad.
Answer is it was pushed onto the road.
I have an alternate what is a tachyon?
What
answer.
Is it?
A subatomic particle devoid of good taste.
Ah, there you go. Nice.
Newton's third answer, it was pushed on the road by another chicken which went away from the road. And his fourth answer was it was attracted to a chicken on the other side of the road.
I thought that was Freud's law.
No. It was attracted to its mother on the other side of the road. Oh. That was Freud's law. I believe that's pronounced
Frude.
Thank you very much.
Frude.
Yes.
Frude.
I'm not mistaken.
Well, guess what, guys? It's 10 o'clock. It's 10 o'clock. That typically, traditionally, marks the end of our show. Well, what did the nuclear physicists have for lunch?
I don't know.
God.
Fish and chips.
We will never be allowing this to happen on another show.
Next week, math jokes.
Oh my God!
I will come back to talk about physics.
Is not a religion. Physics is not a religion, isn't that right, Dr. J?
That's correct.
It says religion, here, physics is not a religion. If it were, it'd have a much easier time raising money.
That's right, exactly. It's far too underfunded.
I guess on that note, we will bid you a fond adieu. You may find this. You may listen to this podcast. Hopefully sometime tomorrow, but more likely on Wednesday. You can find us in the podcast directory on iTunes and in other places. And if you were listening to the IceCast, we sure do appreciate it. And that is it. Dr. J, thanks for joining us. It was a lot of fun.
Thanks for having me. Next week, I'll come in to talk about anything but physics jokes.
All right. Anything but we'll try to have Dr. J back and answer more physics questions or just talk about whatever.
Oh, actually, next week, I'm sorry. I'll be gone. I'll be fishing.
Wisconsin. Gone fishing?
In Wisconsin. That is a true story.
That's a true story. Remember, go to this week's YWOW, lilex.com, LILEKS. It is great stuff. Dork Almighty, Ty, thanks a lot for coming.
Good night, people.
All right, and that's it. We're going to sign off now. So during this whole time, please enjoy the Dolomite Human Tornado soundtrack. We're out of here. Thank you very much. Tune in next week. Bye.
You get all those pimps together, it was live.